This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. Easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and happy fall to all you fallen freethinkers.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. You can't put the words in quotes, can you, on the radio? All you fallen freethinkers, fallen away from religion. This is the October 1st, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. Free Thought Radio is also broadcast in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, in New York City, and of course, many of you are listening on the podcast.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a national state church watchdog and also educates the public about non-theism, and our members are personally free from religion, as we know the government should be free from religion. And we always joke, whether you call yourself an atheist or agnostic or freethinker or skeptic, we don't care what you call yourself, we all disbelieve in the same God. And we have a growing staff at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We have three staff attorneys, we have four legal interns this fall working with us very part-time, and 11 or 12 staff members.
And there's still too much work to do.
And we publish a newspaper as well as broadcasting this radio program, and you are entitled to a free sample if you haven't been asking for them all along. If you contact ffrf.org, there's a place to click on our website or phone 1-800-335-4021 to find out more about the foundation, and we hope someday soon you will join us.
Today's show is going to be really fun. Later in the second half, we're going to talk with Penn Jillette. He's part of the duo, The Penn and Teller Show, about Penn Jillette's new book. It's called God No, Signs You May Already Be an Atheist, and Other Magical Tales. So stay tuned. That'll be very entertaining.
Now, Dan, it was entertaining that you were on national news, Fox.
Fox News.
Net News on Sunday. What was that about?
Well, I don't know how entertaining it was, but it was about our Giles County, Virginia lawsuit challenging the Ten Commandments in the public school there. This public school is being represented by a religious group, a rabid right-wing evangelical organization that's trying to push religion in the schools, the Liberty Council, and their attorney is Matt Staver. And Matt Staver and I had about a four-minute debate back and forth about the merits of putting the Ten Commandments in the public schools. We weren't able to get a clip from that show, but maybe next week we'll have something to play for you.
I know last week we talked with one of our staff attorneys, Stephanie Smith, about the letter that she wrote to a school district in Alabama. What was that about, Dan?
Well, that was about the unconstitutional prayers at football games. And that letter that she wrote resulted in a victory. If you remember from last week's show, the superintendent agreed reluctantly to stop the prayers. Well, here's some more coverage since then, some local coverage of our complaint, which aired on WHNT 19.
Tonight, the superintendent of Arab City Schools is making amends.
Jim Mullins is reversing a policy he started a decade ago. He allowed every home football game for Arab High School to start with a prayer. But now that policy is under fire and changes are underway. WHNT News 19's Benton Blandon covering the story for us tonight.
Well, Jerry and Elise, he says it's all because of this two-page letter. Its writer says Arab City Schools is violating the First Amendment and the rights of one family in Arab. As a result, pregame prayers are a thing of the past.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation prompted the change. The Wisconsin-based organization sent a letter to Arab City Schools on behalf of an Arab City School parent. The letter stated the anonymous parent objected to the pregame prayers.
We don't know who has been offended. We apologize if we offended anyone. We were just trying to have Friday nights the way our community felt was best and live our life in our community the way we choose to live our life.
Arab City Schools Superintendent Jim Mullen started the game day prayers 10 years ago.
It's clear that what we've been doing is not in compliance with the Constitution, and we're going to cease doing what we've been doing.
All Arab High School football games will now begin with a moment of silence.
I totally am in favor of prayer, but I understand the situation, and I'm behind Dr. Mullins 100%.
Arab High School student Marshall Cater wants the prayers back.
They don't make us bow our heads and stop everything we're doing and pray. If you don't want to pray, you don't have to. Nobody's forcing anybody.
The law is forcing the change, but the superintendent is okay with it. He says his job is to focus on educating children.
And we're not going to consume our energy, time, and financial resources fighting a legal battle that may or may not be winnable at this time.
Thank you, Vinny. And if you'd like to read the letter from the foundation, just go to our station's homepage at WHNT.com.
Well, I think while we were listening to this, we were all kind of chuckling over this pronunciation of Arab.
It's spelled Arab, A-R-A-B.
For being a town called Arab, we have been hearing from a lot of noisy, vociferous Christians calling us up and harassing us on the phone.
From
lots of crank mail.
Christians.
But of course, all Arabs do not have to be Muslim, but it's just sort of ironic. We are glad. The principal has done. The superintendent has now, done the right thing, and relatively graciously. We're just feeling that he should be educating the community about why we have a First Amendment and separation between religion and government, and why it's divisive to have religion in the schools. I'd like to see a little more educating by him.
And you heard how he said, our community likes to do this, as if our community were 100% Christian, right?
Right? And he actually made that comment that our community is Christian. Wow.
Yeah.
And not everybody. This was acting on complaints. Now, speaking of Alabama, we have a jail or church issue going there, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation a week ago sent a very strong letter of complaint on behalf of a local complainant to Bay Minette. That's the name of the town in Alabama. And we contacted three judges there because a very off-the-wall proposal has been made by the Bay Minette police chief named Mike Rowland. And the proposal is to have first-time offenders attend church services in lieu of incarceration. What kind of choice is that? And so we wrote a letter. Patrick Elliott, on our staff attorney, wrote a letter September 22nd. The program is called Operation ROC, R-O-C, Restore Our Community. And it would put offenders under the supervision of pastors and require them to attend church services for 1 year in place of jail. Now, I think, what does that say about listening to a sermon?
Yeah.
Is that same kind of punishment equivalent to being in jail for a year?
Well, maybe some people would pick jail instead. One of the local pastors, of course, a lot of the pastors are happy about this, they're getting.
There are about 50 of them who have signed up for the program.
And one of them, named Bruce Hooks, said he's really pleased about the program that will bring people and attention to his church.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited, man.
Really?
I'm eager. I'm just anticipating. Teach them that they are valuable, that God has a plan, God has a purpose, you know.
Well, here's a story about the program and about our protest that ran on WKRG on September 26th.
When Bay Minette Police Chief Michael Rowland announced his church or jail initiative last week, he created a controversy larger than anything he's ever been involved in, a controversy that's grabbed national news headlines.
We've had virtually every major news media in the country has called us.
Operation ROC, or Restore Our Community, offers first-time nonviolent offenders a choice, serve time behind bars, or go to church every Sunday for a year.
The overwhelming response has been very positive for us.
You can't mix religion and government. You can't use a government office to promote religion, even if you think it's good. Our Constitution guarantees separation of state and church.
Groups like the ACLU and the Freedom From Religion Foundation are calling the chief's church or jail initiative unconstitutional. An attorney with the FFR wants the police department to scrap the idea immediately.
A lot of them already go to church. What kind of choice is that? And for the police to offer it as a choice means that the police considers that they are endorsing it as a good alternative.
Rowland says the U.S. Attorney's Office has looked at Operation ROC and says it is constitutional, But the chief has put the program on hold until the city's attorney can review the initiative a little closer.
We believe it is legal. We believe it's a great program. We're going to stick with this, and we're going to move forward with it.
Oh, where to begin?
Well, that was me, by the way. They didn't say my name, but that was me being quoted.
He recognized your voice. And, of course, I think one thing that should be said straight off the bat, and we didn't put this in our letter, is that most people in prison, most people in first offenders programs, most incarcerated, the vast majority of them are already religious. I mean, there are jailhouse conversions, but you're already dealing with usually an undereducated, sometimes illiterate population. They're more apt to be very religious. And so this idea that somehow religion is the answer to crime is just a little bit inadequate.
Now listen to what the police chief's excuse is for continuing the program. He says because it's not forced.
There's no forcing of anyone in this case. It's totally voluntary. This is just another alternative sentencing option. They get to choose the church. If they don't have a particular church in mind, they can use any church anywhere.
So if you're an atheist, you get to choose which church you want to go to.
Yeah, but Patrick Elliott points out that this is coercion because
of course
it's like,
it is.
Make me an offer you can't refuse. Here's the choice, jail or church.
Going to church once a week versus being incarcerated for a year. I mean, it's really outlandish, and we'll see what happens. I think they're going to have, after we sent our letter of complaint, the ACLU sent a letter, Americans United sent a letter. We were in there first. But we've heard from our members all over the country where this has been reported who are outraged about it. So I think we'll stop it.
So it's a matter of endorsement, not coercion. And they say if it's not forced, then it's...
Yeah, but it's also a preference for religion. It's also sponsorship of religion. It just fails on all counts. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. Coming up, we will say farewell, and we will be sorry to Brian Turani, who has been our faithless producer and engineer for many years. And also in the second half of the show, we will talk with the well-known entertainer, Penn Jillette, of the Penn and Teller Show, about his new book, God No.
Hi, my name is Jeffrey Mark from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm the author of the book, Christian No More, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller, and we are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we hope you'll join us at FFRF.org.
Later in today's show, we're going to talk with Penn Jillette of the famous Penn and Teller Show. But first, we want to talk with someone just as famous in the Free Thought community, Brian Turani. It's sad. It's sad today is Brian's last show producing for us because he's moving on.
Well, you've said that before, though.
Oh, we did. That's right.
And he made a comeback.
Yeah. So who knows?
Well, you were the program
director
of the Air America.
That's right.
Affiliate.
So WXXM here in Madison. Yeah.
And then that went off the air, and there was
Well, with Air America, but it keeps going with Progressive Talk. The format
That's
stayed
right.
on the station, and it still is today. And you guys are part of the weekend lineup for the last five and a half years,
yeah.
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 It's pretty amazing. So, it all started from a guest spot on a weekend show.
You remember that, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
And you're responsible. I hold you completely responsible for making possible Free Thought Radio, because I came in to do actually a little promotion for the Women's Medical Fund.
That's right. That's
abortion rights charity run by my mother. I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Atheists do run charities.
You recorded some PSAs for the program.
Yeah. And then you said, while I'm here, why don't you do something for the Freedom From Religion Foundation? Remember that?
Yeah.
And you were so encouraging. That's what made me feel, well, let's talk about getting that dream we've always had of our own weekly radio show.
Instead of going on everybody else's radio show and getting beat up and having people talk back and getting cut off. And
well, we like being on those two, not the beat up part, but,
so,
but it's been really fun.
So you made history.
Yeah.
I guess
owe it to
so.
You.
So what happened? You got tired of the show and you're just quitting?
Well, I got a different role with the radio station at one point when I came back here, and now I am moving on to a couple of different jobs. I'm replacing one job with two. I'm going to be doing work with the Progressive Magazine. We're working with Matt Rothschild, who's the editor there.
Mm-hmm. He's been a guest. We have to have him on again.
Yeah, yeah. Great guest. And that's going to be part of my job there, is making sure he gets on to more shows, television and radio.
Well, you have an in with us.
Yeah, I'll be, you're in my Rolodex. I'll be calling. And it just so happens that just upstairs of Matt's office at the Progressive Magazine is the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin. So I'll be doing another half of my day upstairs, working with that organization, promoting cycling, which is my other passion in life. So,
and you're always cycling.
You're like
a marathon cycler.
Even in the winter, I get to do a little indoor riding.
I think some of our members have contributed to your AIDS.
That's right.
Cycling, and you do every summer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, which I also began about the same time the show did, you know, raising money and funds and awareness for AIDS Network locally here in Wisconsin.
So you're going to be really doing a lot of nonprofit advocacy.
Yeah, apparently. I'll be stepping into your world a little bit more.
I think you'll like it.
Now, it's a challenge, I'm sure.
We said the joke below, but you'll be a real spokesperson.
That's right.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's been a blast doing the show with you.
Yeah,
guys.
We're going to miss you.
Not going to be as good anymore, but we'll try.
But people can keep track of you through the Progressive Magazine and what's it called? The Wisconsin Bicycle?
The Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin.
Okay.
That's right. Now hurry up, you guys. You got 2 minutes left here.
Oh, come on. Right. Okay, so now I want to talk about, thank you for that prompt. Last week, there was an event honoring the founder of FFRF, the principal founder, Ann Gaylor, who also has worn another charity volunteer hat for more than 30 years, administering and mostly raising the funds for the Women's Medical Fund, dealing daily with the women calling, indigent women who would not be able to pay for abortions because of the unfair cutoff of abortions for Medicaid, except for this charity. It's the longest-lived national abortion rights or charity in the country, comparing them. It serves women in Wisconsin, has helped more than 20,000, and she was honored at Senator State Rister's condominium by pro-choice NARAL with the George Tiller Award, the second annual. And then we just want to talk about, look for our billboards in Hartford, Connecticut, and our convention next week at FFRF.org in Hartford, Connecticut. Take it away, Dan.
And you can see, if you want to go to our webpage, FFRF.org, it's one of the news events. Brian said we still have a minute and a half.
Oh, we have a minute and a half.
Yeah,
I thought it was 20 seconds.
You go to a news page to read about FFRF billboards, revere Hartford's famed irreverence. And there are two different billboards up right now, and they will be up during our convention in October.
And one of them you can spot on the right-hand side coming in from the airport, and that's on, Interstate 91, south of Weston Road. It's a 14 by 48 foot bulletin that says, "I'm an atheist and that's it," Katherine Hepburn. And that comes from a longer quote she gave the Ladies Home Journal about how she believes, "I'm an atheist and that's it. I believe that there's nothing we can know except that we should be kind to each other and do what we can for other people."
So why Katherine Hepburn?
Because she was born in Hartford and
born
is
there.
Buried there. And then who else are we showcasing?
Well, Mark Twain. Mark Twain had a home in Hartford, Connecticut, a huge home.
And we're going to tour it at the convention next week for those who are pre-registered.
And the billboard says, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so."
And where is that, Dan? Oh, well, let's see. I've got it. Interstate 84 near Olive Street. So it's another 14 by 48 footer. And so, Dan, who's coming up?
Stay tuned for a conversation with the Rabelaisian, as Richard Dawkins calls him, Penn Jillette, about his brand new book, God Know, Signs You May Already Be an Atheist and Other Magical Tales. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Another quick ad for our national convention in Hartford, Connecticut, the weekend of October 7th and 9th. Go to FFRF.org/outreach. If you want to attend, you can pre-registration is over for meals, but you can still sign up to attend the convention, and we hope to see you there.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org. Or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And for the second half of our show, we're really pleased to have with us on the phone Penn Jillette. He's a huge talent. He's a huge guy. In fact, he's so huge that they named a train station after him in New York City. Penn Jillette, you probably know his name. He's the one half of the world-famous Emmy Award-winning magic duo, Penn and Teller. Individually, Penn has appeared with Howard Stern and Glenn Beck. He's written for the op-ed pages of the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times. He's appeared on Dancing with the Stars, MTV Cribs, and Chelsea lately, and he hosted the NBC game show Identity. Along with Teller, he's also been more than 20 times on David Letterman, as well as other TV shows, from The Simpsons and Friends to Top Chef and The View. He co-hosts the controversial series Penn and Teller BS. And now, Brian, you told me I had to say BS on the show. Penn and Teller BS, which has been nominated for 16 Emmy Awards. He's currently co-host of the Discovery Channel's Penn and Teller Tell a Lie. The reason we're talking with him today is because he has a brand new book out. It's called God No, Signs You May Already Be an Atheist, and Other Magical Tales.
Richard Dawkins writes, Penn Jillette is a 21st century lord of misrule, big, boisterously anarchic, funny, Rabelaisian, impossible, and unique. There isn't, couldn't be, better not be anybody like him. And I should say that, like Richard Dawkins, Penn Jillette has received the Freedom From Religion Foundation's, we think, coveted Emperor Has No Clothes Award statuette. And I know we've seen it, pictures of it, in someplace in your studio or workplace, Penn. So welcome to the show.
Backstage in the green room.
Great.
Oh, backstage in the green room. Well, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a real honor after reading your book. I'm glad I read all the way through it because there's some real good nuggets there.
And you gave Annie the hard words that Richard Dawkins wrote. You read the easy PR words and you gave her the hard words.
Well, I love that Rabelaisian.
Yeah,
and after reading...
You have to look it up.
Well, no, well, because I remember from The Music Man, Rabelais and Balzac are very scandalous.
There you go. Music Man's a good place to learn.
Now, after reading your book, which is really a lot of fun, and I'm recommending it to everybody, I now see that we probably should not have included the fig leaf on our Emperor Has No Clothes Award. You know, he's the naked the naked emperor, which some people suggested, well, let's put a fig leaf on him. But in your book, there's nothing covered up. You tell it all, and it's amazing. I was in Copenhagen last year, and James Randi was there. We both spoke, and I asked James Randi, whom I know you admire, you're a magician. You're a magician. Can you make religion disappear? And James Randi said, yes, I can, but you can't afford it. And so is that what you're trying to do with your new book?
Not at all. You know, not at all. The idea, you know, I was really inspired to write this book by Glenn Beck and by a lot of Christians who, after we did BS for years, I expected, after we did such incredibly mean things in the Bible and Mother Teresa and the Vatican, I expected really like dangerous and unpleasant hate mail. And I got a lot of sweet mail from Christians just saying that although they disagreed, they really liked the fact we put our opinions across and boldly, and they liked the passion. And I just wanted to write something that was really, really honest. I think that in some cases, atheists tend to attack people, and that's called for in many cases. But it just doesn't interest me. You know, I think that you can love people and really hate the ideas. I mean, what I'm saying, of course, is the atheist version of hate the sin, love the sinner. But I really think that an atheist version of that is very called for. I mean, the idea of religion is terrible and sick and destructive, but the people who are in its clutches are very often sweet, wonderful. I mean, that's one of the main points of Trey and Matt's, you know, the Book of Mormon, and a very important and deep and rich point for us all to take in, I think.
I just want to say, I agree with you, of course, and we don't attack people at FFRF just because they're religious, but I don't get very much sweet crank mail. We really get the full throttle, and maybe that's because we're working for separation of religion and government, and that seems to bring out more hatred or hostility than saying you're an atheist.
And they even use words that you could not print in your book.
But I am glad that you're not getting that.
Well, no, we get that certainly, and we certainly have pushed very hard for separation of church and state. I mean, obsessively on the show BS. But you know, you have to keep in mind numbers, and you have to keep in mind all of that. And I guess maybe it's that I was just taken with some of the sweet messages. You know, we meet people after our show, after anything we do. We go to the lobby, we talk to folks, we will sign things, we'll pose for pictures if they like, whatever they want. And so people know where we're going to be and when. And you don't have to buy a ticket to meet us afterwards because we're right out near the casino at the Penn and Teller show in Vegas.
Well, we saw your show. We were there. We were in your line once.
Yeah, so you know what that's like.
Yeah.
And so some people show up at the end of the show with Bibles and tracts and so on. And at first, when they started doing that, I was really creeped out and kind of afraid of them. And then I think this book is written out of me getting much more comfortable with their proselytizing and much more really embracing the marketplace of ideas. I mean, we all embrace the marketplace of ideas for people that we agree with to talk, but I really got to enjoy it for people I didn't agree with to just say anything. And that kind of sharing of ideas just seemed really groovy to me. And part of what this book was just kind of, you know, if you want historic, logic, idealistic point of view, you read Christopher Hitchens. If you want a science point of view, you read Richard Dawkins. If you want a really personal, horrific point of view, you read the Jan Hirsi Ali. But if you want just a goofball Vegas guy who has accidents with his genitals, you want to read Penn Jillette.
Who walks like a farmer, you say.
Absolutely.
You wrote in the afterword, the enemy is not people. People are good, and that's one of your 10 suggestions. People are good. The enemy is not God. There is no God. The enemy is faith. Love and respect all people. Hate and destroy all faith.
Yeah, well, that's really where my thinking is right now, that there's this thing that happens among even people who are very open-minded, which is to kind of show respect for the faith itself, you know, just kind of say, well, you know, they believe this strongly in their hearts and we should respect them for that. And I think that people who believe things strongly in their hearts, what they believe must be questioned. Just saying, I believe something and therefore you have to respect the fact that I believe it is really, really wrong. And it's not really wrong. Is obviously wrong scientifically, but that's not the part that bothers me. The part that bothers me is once you say that something's true because you feel in your heart, you've closed everyone else off. It's completely solipsistic. It's completely antisocial. I mean, what science is, we can talk in a lot of ways about what science is philosophically, but at a very, very low dirt level, what science is sharing the world. I mean, if you say, I have this feeling in my heart and I have this revelation that the sun goes around the earth, you've completely closed off everyone else. If, like Copernicus, you say, here's my evidence of why the earth goes around the sun, you've then let everyone in. You've let them share. I mean, another way of looking at reality is it is a way of looking at the world that we can all easily share with proof. It's not a view of the world that is just inside our individual hearts. And that's what I mean with my attacks of faith, is let's share in things that we really can share in, and that thing that we share in, we can very easily call reality, because the only way we could all believe in something together is if we have evidence.
You say in your book, you make that point, that if religion were to disappear, it might come back again in some form, but not exactly like it is now. But if science were to disappear, the facts would still be there, and eventually we would rediscover the same facts. So that's what your point is there.
Yeah, the fact that it's shared, the fact that we can all agree on it, is to me the wonder of science.
I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker. We are enjoying our conversation with Penn Jillette. We have an awful lot more to talk to you about. Just a few teasers, Penn. You say that reading the Bible is the fast track to atheism. Atheism is the only real hope against terrorism. You talk about atheist parenting. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned so you don't miss Penn Jillette talking on all of those issues.
His new book is God No.
I'm Jim Chastain from Sarasota, Florida, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're continuing our conversation with Penn Jillette, author of the New York Times bestseller for 5 weeks, God, No.
Signs You May Already Be an Atheist and Other Magical Tales. And on the back, besides a Richard Dawkins blurb, is also an endorsement from Glenn Beck. What's that all about, Ben?
Well, you know, Glenn, I did Glenn's show years ago when he was first on CNN, and then did it about, I don't know, four or five times, not many. But I always got along wonderfully with Glenn Beck, and we always disagreed on everything. And part of this book started because Glenn Beck told me to write it. Glenn Beck was on his show making the argument, which a religious person should not make, in my mind, but making essentially the argument from Sam Harris's Moral Landscape book, and the argument that Dawkins has made many times, that morality supersedes or transcends religion, which is not an argument that religious people usually make. But if you try to fill up 4 hours of radio a day, you end up saying nutty stuff.
Well,
and so he was,
to put it lightly,
he was making this argument. And he then said that the Ten Commandments were more important than religion. It was kind of an argument to break the First Amendment, to allow Ten Commandments to be up in public places.
Well, let's talk
and
about.
And he said, "I want my atheist friend Penn Jillette to write his version of the Ten Commandments and see how much they overlap." So, to Glenn Beck's credit, I wrote an essay that is very, very strongly atheist, and concludes my 10 suggestions of the backbone of the book. And then Glenn Beck gave it out at all his rallies. So, by definition, the largest disseminator of atheist propaganda is Glenn Beck. He handed it out. And I think it's wonderful that, although I disagree with Glenn on so many things, that he does believe in the marketplace of ideas enough that he was willing to hand out very strong atheist tract at all his shindigs.
Now, for somebody just tuning in, kind of what would sum up the first part of our interview with you is probably what you call your second commandment: do not put things or even ideas above human beings. And of course, this
second
is
suggestion.
Second suggestion,
yeah.
Is my plea that, you know, dogma should never be put above people, and that's the real problem with religion. But you give some other very good sage advice. You talk about atheism is the only real hope against terrorism. Could you elaborate a bit?
I think that once you say it's okay to have faith, once you've said that when something is in someone's heart, that has to give them a pass, that has to give them a free ticket, you've automatically okayed anyone that says that. I mean, you may think you're just okaying the Unitarians down the street, but you're also, by definition, okaying any terrorist or Charlie Manson. I mean, do we have to look into Charlie Manson's heart and see if he really honestly believed that Helter Skelter was coming and he was supposed to move it along? If he absolutely believed everything he said when he was involved in the Tate LaBianca murders, do we then have to say, well, that's just his faith, that's just acceptable? Yeah. And so the only way to, you know, there's a very interesting thing, which is if you go to the Bible Belt and you take a courtroom and you take a judge and a jury and all the people watching the gallery, and they're all hardcore believers. They are all, if you pick anything, they're evangelical, born again, Pentecostal. Give them as hardcore a belief as possible. And someone gets on the witness stand in their own defense and says that they committed this crime, you know, killing somebody, because God told them to. Nobody in the court entertains that at all. It's one of the reasons I called the book Signs You May Already Be an Atheist. I believe that even people that say they believe in God have this kind of direct line against faith. I mean, if you, there is nothing, even if you give the fact that our government, our court system, is built in some way on the Judeo-Christian ideas, which in some ways it is, certainly is. Even if you give them that, we have not guilty by reason of insanity. We do not have not guilty because God told them to.
Exactly.
And that's really interesting. It means that already there's this line that says you're not allowed to have your faith let you get away with things. And I just want to pull that line back a little bit so that your faith is never respected, but only proof and only humanity is respected.
Because people should be judged by their actions, not their beliefs. If they want to pray to Mother Goose, we don't care, but it's their actions that cause harm, and that's what... You know, what we...
Well, no, but I do care. I do care if they pray to Mother Goose. I do care, and I do want to argue with them, and I do want to say that that's not right. My point is that the belief itself, the faith itself, should not be prosecuted, should not be persecuted, should not be attacked in any way legally, but should certainly be attacked constantly, intellectually, morally, and publicly.
Well, you're very compassionate. Your book is filled with that love for humanity. And you know, when I was a believer, I was a right-wing preacher for many years. I still was a human being, and I had all these feelings. And it worked with me, thinking and morality and reasoning and that, even though I was raised by Christian parents in a fundamentalist household. You have a chapter in your book about atheist parenting. And by the way, I should point out, the book is about half atheism, and the rest of the book is a lot of your fun stories about your life. Stories that could never be made into a Disney movie, I have to point out. It's not a PG book, I think I'll leave it at that, and the listeners, I think, are going to be more intrigued to read it because of that. But in any event, you do talk about being an atheist parent. You say those of us who are out-of-the-closet atheist parents have all that extra time on Sunday mornings to love our children. We can hold them, laugh, dance around. Tell your children there's no God and be done with it. Jesus Christ, your children aren't stupid.
Well, yes. My children are 5 and 6.
Oh.
My son is 5. My daughter is 6. And it's very funny how things get conflated in a weird way. You know, we don't push to them that there's no God, but there certainly is no God in their lives. When they go off to school, they come back and, my daughter heard someone say, "Oh my God." Huh. And because in school, they're told not to say that because it's blasphemous, and because she knows our feelings, she conflated the two and said, "You shouldn't say, oh my God, because there is no God." Which I thought was just fabulous.
It's not blaspheming, it's just not true.
I wanted to say, Penn, that I like to go around saying that I grew up without religion like you're allowing your children to, which is very respectful. I like to say that I was a secular pippa God's not in his heaven, all's right with the world. So I think that it's such a burden to be brought up with religion, and to provide a secular religion-free environment for your children is very good parenting.
Yeah, and you know, also I hear some parents say that they're going to let their children make up their minds for themselves, which seems to me disingenuous. It seems like they're lying to themselves in some way, because your children do need to know what you believe. You cannot pretend that they're tabula rasa. They have to know your point of view. So any question that I'm asked by my children, or anything they want to know, I answer honestly from an atheist point of view, because I need to be honest with my children. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that if my daughter Moxie grows up to be a beer-drinking fundamentalist preacher, I'm going to love her any less than I will if she's an atheist.
Well, hopefully,
but I'm going to tell her the truth in the meantime.
Thank you so much. Hopefully Moxie will retain her Moxie. And we appreciate very much your coming on the show. That's Penn Jillette, his new best-selling book, God No, go out and get it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you again, Brian. This is your last show with
farewell.
Us, producing and all that.
It's been a blast.
So now you can just listen to us on Saturday morning.
That's right.
When he has nothing else to do with two jobs.
And we also, this show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. It's broadcast here and in other markets. Go to ffrf.org/radio for archives and the podcast.
Sign up now for the convention. It's next weekend, and this is your last call at ffrf.org. And tune in next week for more Blasphemous Radio and Rational Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.
Want to use the courts to impose your secular view on America, and enough is enough.
All right, gentlemen, clearly
America is a secular country.